VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Action-packed three-hour program coming up. Tons of college basketball. The Bear, Chris Felica, in 30 minutes. His best bets for the opening round. Max Hoffmeyer in 90 minutes. Shot quality. I'll tell you what. I know these numbers are big. He's not going to make a case for a lot of dogs. He's laying a lot of chalk, and he'll explain why at that time. Ryan Kramer on unders in the first round, and Derek Stevens coming up a little bit later on. As you mentioned to me before the show, could you imagine playing in a Calcutta with Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas, and the group that he runs with?
Especially if it's Michigan. That's my other thought. What are these one seeds going for in Calcutta contests?
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Here at Circa, will a one seed win the tournament? Yes, minus
$3. They posted $3 now.
Yeah. Can you imagine what these one seeds are going for? And it's just, there's no cap. So the auction, we had JT the Brick on last year. So when you're the auctioneer, you just come out, you throw up a team, and if whatever, start the insanity.
Mm-hmm.
However it goes, it's whatever it is. So. That's excellent. The champion gets 15% of the pot. Final four, 3%. Elite eight, 3.5%. Sweet 16, 2.5%. I know Rufus Peabody's in stuff like this every single year. They also have highest seed to lose in round one, round two. Largest margin you're going to get to. Biggest loss, biggest win, all that. So it's phenomenal. But that is just where... You like a team, you like to gamble, or you're from that school, whatever, or you have a strong feeling about them. And like JT the Brick said, there's been times where guys wanted to take it outside and say, hey, it's going to get physical here. It gets involved into it.
Right, and coming up in 10 minutes, I am going to tell you about that prop Pauly just briefly mentioned. It is 22-3 under a current number that is available on the betting board since the year 2000. And it's the biggest number I have seen in all my years of tracking this stuff. 22-3 under the number that's on the board right now. By the way, if you were in a Calcutta outside of the ones, who would you focus on right now? How far would you want to go down the board? To me, it would be like a team based on the region and the draw. I'd look at maybe Iowa State, Houston.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I it would be Arkansas if they were in a different region, but that's a gauntlet for them.
Maybe it depends.
Would you look at St. John's or Michigan State?
Kind of like an auction in fantasy football. Maybe you wait till the end and so good team's available and everyone's, shot their load.
Mm-hmm.
What could happen? So that's an interesting conundrum, too. I'm not high on Houston. I'd rather have St. John's, but it also comes down to price, though.
Yeah, right. We do have the madness beginning tonight, the play-in games, where we have Maryland-Baltimore County taking on Howard and Texas taking on NC State. These numbers have been going back and forth pretty much since the Selection Sunday process came out this past weekend. And UMBC enters this game, Pauly, on a 12-game winning streak. They are a smaller team. 6-7 is pretty much as big as they go. Top 75 in effective field goal percentage on offense and defense. In the America East tournament, they shot the ball really well from deep, 32 of 74. And your school, Howard, 23-10. At Torvik, number 206 overall, KenPom 208th, highest since 2013 for this program. They are a top 30 team in the country. Effective field goal percentage allowed and three-point percentage allowed on top of that.
I like UMBC. And as I said yesterday, this is a good conference. And in years past, Vermont, now they've won games, and we know what UMBC did years ago, but they're usually like a 12-13 seed. And I'm shocked, again, they're a 16, and I watched them destroy Vermont Saturday. Again, they were small on the money line at home. They ran them out, and their best player, King, who averages 14 a game, didn't hit a shot. He was 0 of 8. So they're methodical. They take care of the ball. I think that's going to frustrate Howard. They're used to forcing a lot of turnovers, getting easy buckets. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. They've played games with this the last couple days, and the favorites flipped at some spots. But I think UMBC wins, and I think they're athletic. And it's a good league and a better league, and I think they're tested, And I love what they did Saturday, even though their star player couldn't make a shot, yep. And they ran out Vermont. So I like UMBC tonight.
Definitely shop around for the best number. Multiple national books right now. They have 1.5 on UMBC, Caesars, and here at Circa, they have Howard favored by a point in this game. I played UMBC in the first half in this game. And there is a recent trend the last handful of years that ties into that play and a play that I have in the Texas NC State game. It's pretty good info from one of my buddies who tracks basketballs that are used, and I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to share too much of the
there we go.
The recipe here baked in, but UMBC is the play tonight in the first half based on that.
At that. Each team to score 65 points is $1.40 at Caesars and Will Hill. They got all these up. So if you think we're getting high-scoring games, each team to score 30 points in each half, plus 145. And the list goes on about all the stuff that they have, and you know, the first to 10 and all that, that people love with the instant gratification. So that's excellent. Maybe this is more low-scoring, and then we have fireworks in the second game. You know, I know the committee said they wish they didn't do this, so that's just how it fell. But these teams met November 26th, and NC State won 102-97. This is a bad Texas defense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's several games like this where the totals are sky high. Both teams come limping in, though. NC State lost 5 of their last 6. So did Texas. This one's tough.
I now see NC State favored almost everywhere. Here at Circa, they're -1.5. That seems to be a common number across the screen. A bunch of ones out there as well. And the total now is sitting at 158. This was a system play, or an angle play, I should say, by our producer Luke when Texas was favored, because Torvik, Haslam, and Greg Peterson all have NC State favored. G-Unit has the Wolfpack by 4 in this game. However, they do have the lowest turnover rate in the ACC, third highest defensive turnover rate on offense and defense. So they're good on offense, they're bad on defense. 41% from deep on neutral courts. That is very impressive. However, they finished 15th in three-point percent defense, 11th in two-point percent defense, and 14th overall in effective field goal percent defense when ACC play. They're also the worst defensive rebounding team in the league. The Longhorns, as you said, limping in, losers of 5 out of 6, top 25 adjusted offensive team, good on the glass, the bad, they can't force turnovers, poor three-point defense, 1 of 4, 1 and 4 overall with their record in quad 2 games. Good write-ups on both these games and all the games at vsin.com.
Will Wade's a good coach, too. This
he is.
9 tournament trips in the last 10 years with 4 different teams. That's impressive.
That's
and
tough to do.
Won a game with McNeese last year. But Texas was in this situation in the play-in last year and lost to Xavier. It didn't play well. And but we know NC State, what happened, a magical run a couple years ago, is as 11 seed as well. And certainly the winner of this game has a case to win the next game. Is taking on BYU. You have to like your path to make a deep run here, whoever the winner is going to be. But hopefully it's high scoring and entertaining. But I will back NC State in this one. But a stronger play is I like UMBC in the first game. On and everyone's got to do their homework and find True TV now this time.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, how have these playing games gone with the totals? Well, the last 14, 10 of them have gone over. They were 4-0 last year to the over as well. That might look like a very high total in the Texas NC State game. And in fact, you can see 157.5 right now at some spots. As you said, the first time they played, flew over this number. And good offenses here and poor defenses. So that would result in a pretty good chance here for us to get a bunch of points in an entertaining game.
Mm-hmm.
This is from our buddy Kevin Rogers on the NIT, by the way. Don't sleep on this. Since the start of 2023, NIT games are 60% to the over. And he looked at regular season champs or co-champs does not have to be the number one seed in conference tournament, playing on the road in their opening round of the NIT, 4-11 ATS is a dog of 8 points or less. 2025, it was 1-3. Chattanooga was the only winner. They ended up winning the entire thing. 2024, it was 1-4. 2023, 2-4. Teams to fade tonight, Liberty, Wilmington, and Stephen F. Austin. Liberty's catching around
3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 now against George Mason.
3 o'clock Pacific, too, tip time.
Yep.
Liberty really stunk down the stretch.
Yale is 4.5 against Wilmington, and Tulsa is a big favorite.
7.5.
Yeah, 7.5 against Stephen F. Austin. This show is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now You can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with King of March. Use the code BSINMM.
Anti-fun, baby. Mr. Poison, I found him.
You found buzzer beaters?
Buzzer beater at Caesars and Will Hill for the entire tournament. No minus 140. Total games to go to overtime, 3.5 under minus 130.
So the over is what, plus 110?
Yeah. Four overtime games? Look at these point spreads.
I know.
Are we going to have an overtime game in the first 4 days?
Well,
First 2 days, I say no. These are astronomical point spreads, record-setting.
Here's the thing. If the good teams advance, though, that's going to result in some super close matchups on paper in the second round and beyond. We got an email. Always check. Doesn't matter what you're using.
Damn right.
A guy who uses a local, his book was offering 3+ overtimes entire tournament, 10-1. Now, at that number, that's an autoplay.
Yeah.
And then you can come back at Caesars and bet no under 3.5 minus 140.
That's like what we kicked around with largest seed to make the Final Four. That 6.5 that was out there.
Oh, that got wiped out during our show.
Yeah, well, then down the streets got 4.5 and right. Yeah. Some places have 8.5, some places have 9.5 with that too, no doubt. We're brought to you by ProfitX. Forget the bracket. ProfitX taking March Madness to a whole new level with King of March. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 tournament games. Hit your volume goal and you've entered to win a free trip of your choice. Hit 1,000 in volume and you're in for the 5K trip. 10,000, you're in for the 10K trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, it's covered. Download ProfitX, create your account, code VSINMM. VSINMM. Win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot only on ProfitX.
I found a prop that is 22-3 under this number going back to the year 2000. Talk about a fun sweat all day on Thursday and Friday. I'll explain coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Big fan of our next guest. Does a great job during the college football, college basketball, the entire year. It's Chris Felica, the Bear. Bear Bets podcast with Fox Sports on X. Must follow at Chris Felica on the Progressive Guest Line. Good to talk to you, Bear. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Looks like we're down to drama in one Champions League tie only here. Is Man City's down a man, PSG up big, and now we're looking at Arsenal and Leverkusen all even here. So we got a little Champions League going here as we crunch some brackets.
What are you sweating?
Oh, I'm not. I took a little flyer on Leverkusen to advance at plus 500 today, just because Arsenal hasn't been really impressive and not really a very attacking side, and they're gonna play the type of game that invites Leverkusen to be in it for a very, very long time. So we'll see. But plus 500 pre-flop here and probably still about the same, being that we're 0-0, 29th minute.
We shared some of good luck of your Bear Bites yesterday on the show. Phenomenal nuggets regarding the tournament. Was there a number or two or three that really stood out? You're like, oh my God, that's pretty amazing. And I got to dive into that a little bit more.
I think the historical trend in comparison about the gap between the 2-3-4-5 and the 15-14-13-12 really struck out to me, because I just had to go back and look. Is this right? Is this real? And that's one of the reasons why I think so many people are high on the high seeds this year. We think we may get a bunch of one seeds again, and maybe we will. We'll see. But last year was an anomaly. Like, only twice in the last 15 years have all the one seeds even made the Elite Eight. So what we saw last year doesn't necessarily happen. And there were some really cheap prices out there on over 1.5 one seeds to make the Final Four, and like combined seeds at the Final Four, 9.5. Like, it was almost inviting a bet. It was so low. Like, I think it's like minus 170 now on the over 1.5. And you could you can make a case that we could only wind up with one. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to see if some of these historical numbers stand up or if they get burned again this year.
Yep, it's a new era, no doubt, with these huge point spreads and the differences between the haves and have-nots. You've been in a Calcutta before. What advice would you give for a Calcutta contest? Who you taking a nibble on?
Yeah, I would. I think Illinois is like a lock to get to the Sweet 16. And I know they're minus $4 to make the Sweet 16, but they could be like an anchor leg for you if you want to tie them into something else. I think UCLA is a team that I would love to target. UConn has not been great. If Bilodeau and Dent were healthy, they very easily could have won that Big Ten championship. So I think UCLA is super live there as a 7 seed. I would not be surprised if Kentucky is a team that maybe goes a little bit cheaper in one of those Calcuttas and might be a team to target. They're better than Santa Clara. And then Iowa State on the bottom side, I mean, it's a team with flaws. So look to target maybe some of these 7 seeds as well. Miami, I think, should beat Missouri. Could they beat Purdue? Sure. The winner tonight, between Mitch and I were, and you and I were just talking about this in break. I think the winner tonight between Texas and NC State has a great chance to get to the Sweet 16. You'll look at who they potentially would play in the second round, a BYU team that doesn't play a lick of defense, no Saunders. Gonzaga is not going to have Huff, and kudos to Mark Few for being honest and on the up and up there and say, no, he's not playing this week. And so I think, I don't know if these, if you're Calcutta specifically, you have to name the team or if you can buy it as play-in winner, but that might be a spot to kind of take a look at a team. Tennessee is a team I think that I'm a little bit higher on than some people. I think defensively they could be okay. Again, I know I got a great note about Rick Barnes and being a 5 seed or lower and how he hasn't made it out of the first weekend more than once. But I think Tennessee, obviously you get SMU or Miami of Ohio in the second round. And then you look at the 3 seed there in Virginia. They're not going to get embarrassed athletically or matchup-wise against Virginia. So I think the Vols could be a little bit of a dark horse to make the 16 as well.
So you mentioned UCLA there. Does that mean that you like them laying the points against UCF coming up?
I do. I do. I think there's a lot of talk about, look at Mick Cronin's got to go east now with UCLA. Yeah. But they have been a low seed a couple of times under Cronin. They've done very well. They were a 7 seed once, an 11 seed once, and they won their first round games by 25 and 11. I think they're pretty good. I would be surprised if they did lose to UC. I know UCF got a couple of scalps this year in the Big 12, but I think this UCLA team is a little bit undervalued just because of the antics with Cronin and what he did there in the one game against Michigan State, and then the body clock and going. I think UCLA is pretty good.
You talk to a lot of people. You got the podcast, all your connections, people you correspond with. Are there teams that you feel are too popular, especially underdogs?
Have you heard one person like not pick Akron in terms of an upset yet, just because of the injury to Toppin and Christian Anderson getting kind of nicked up? Like, this is an Akron team, that a program that's never won a tournament game. That really doesn't affect this year's team, but like the last couple of years, they've been in the tournament and they've gotten blown out by 28 and 17 points. Yes. I think the world of McCaslin. This was a team that very easily could have won the national title last year. A bunch of guys back, but they're a little bit more perimeter oriented now since Toppin has been out. But I would be surprised if they lost to Akron. I think High Point is another team that I just don't see it with High Point, especially against Wisconsin and their ability with those guards to kind of control the game. And then the other one on the other side is McNeese State. I really like Vandy in that game. I think Vandy's guards are terrific. I don't see McNeese State pulling an upset there at all. But it seems like a lot of people are on the same underdogs. McNeese State, High Point, Akron, South Florida is another very popular one. And that's a game I want absolutely no part of.
Okay. And I feel terrible for what happened to Yale, but they did it to themselves. Are you a foul up 3 guy?
Every time.
Yes.
Every single time. You have to do it. You're sacrificing the win. And I'm glad you brought up Yale, because they play tonight in the NIT. And that game got bet down to, I think, 4.5 now. Like, is Yale going to be able to get up off the mat in that game? Like, I don't know. So it took some money. The one game in the NIT that I did like tonight that I played it once it got down to 6.5, I bet Oklahoma State -6.5 against Davidson. Davidson, this is not particularly a great Davidson team by their standards. And Oklahoma State wasn't exactly a team that was on the bubble. Like, they never had their NCAA tournament hopes up. So I think this number, a newish coach, kind of a team that can kind of build around, maybe end the year on a high note. So I think down at 6.5 now with Oklahoma State, I would play that.
Yeah, and I'll take a peek at the NIT. Right. Chris DeBerfalica, our guest here on the Progressive Guest Line. I know Paulie is fading St. Louis. I think he has been down the stretch as well. Are you doing that against Georgia?
I like Georgia in that game. St. Louis, I don't know if they love to get in a bunch of high scoring games, but I think athletically, this Georgia team with what they faced in the SEC has really gotten them ready for the tournament in this type of game. If you watch St. Louis recently, they kind of peaked a little bit early, and it's a great story with Schertz and bringing over the guys to St. Louis now and Robbie of Avalubs. But I like Georgia in this game, and it feels like St. Louis is going to be a pretty public side, but I like the other end of that game.
Overall, sum of all one seeds to make the Final Four. What do you think is that number, and then who do you like to win the whole thing?
I saw the 9.5, and that felt a little – it felt high, where, as I said, like they were inviting a bet on the under there. Like, if you get one ridiculous result, like a UCLA or a Tennessee or a St. John's, like you put yourself in trouble. I'm in the minority, shocking. I'm a lot higher on Houston than most people. With Flemings, they got a guy who can totally take a game over. If Sharp finds his shot, they can play with anybody. I know they're not as good defensively as they were, but still, with Tugler and some of the guys that they have, they're more than formidable. And remember, they'll be in the Sweet 16, and they're going to play those two games in Houston. And they'll have a massive crowd advantage, and that will make a difference. I don't necessarily love the fact that I'm picking the team that wound up losing in the national title game last year, but you can find some really good numbers still on Houston. But I think because they're not a one seed and they didn't win the Big 12 and they're kind of talked down a little bit and they lost some games, I think getting out of the Big 12 conference for the time being until maybe they beat Arizona in the national title game or something like that could be a good thing. But yeah, in my bracket, I have Houston over Arizona.
Okay, very good. Bear, I love talking to you, man. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck tonight and moving forward.
Thanks so much. Arsenal scored, so the dream is dead.
Okay.
There you
Sorry.
Go.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Father Money brought to you by ProfitX. Right now, March Madness can take you anywhere in the world. King of March is ProfitX tournament contest, where free trips worth up to $10,000 are up for grabs, flights and hotels, wherever you want to go covered. Keep winning in sets of 10 and keep earning entries. Download ProfitX now. Use code VSINMM and become the king of March. ProfitX, code VSINMM.
Win, lose next, and we'll tell you which kind of dog to look at if you plan on picking upsets. Welcome back. Time to get some best bets for the opening round of the tournament, playing game as well. Max Hoffmeyer joins the program. He is with Shot Quality Bets. Follow him on X at Hoffy8121. Max, before we get into your best bets, we were just talking about this potential new era that we're in college basketball and how chalk dominated last year with four number ones, making it for only the second time ever. And that could happen again this year. What are your thoughts overall on that whole conversation?
Yeah, so last year I saw a great tweet by Evan Abrams, and I made sure to bookmark it, file it away for this year. Favorites of 6+ points entering the Sweet 16 the last 2 years. So that's games Thursday through Sunday for the last 2 years. 51-6 straight up, 26-2 last year, 38-19 against the spread, 19-9 last year. That's favorites of 6+ points. If it happened 1 year, I'm willing to say it's an outlier. 2 years ago, I think you need to seriously consider it. And does it make sense? I mean, kind of, we're in a transition phase in this sport. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised one bit if it's a year three of Chalk Madness. And the market has moved up at least 2 points on a lot of these big totals. So the market really thinks we get it as well.
Excellent point. Yeah. Great numbers. What do you think tonight in one of the play-in games they played? In late November, it was 102-97. Do you think Texas and NC State's high scoring again?
Yeah, I'm a little timid here that the market moved against this opener, because I kind of love the over. I got in at 159 and it's still kind of coming down. I thought maybe there was like historical first four trends in the tournament, or, you know, there was an overinflated basketball thing circling around on the mm-hmm. internet, but really the SMU and Miami total didn't get hit either though. So a little confused there, but yeah, these are two very, very poor defenses. I like the Texas size as well, because NC State's interior is bad, but they have great shot making. Both these teams have great shot making. I played over 159. I thought this should be at least 160.
Yeah, and I will say this. Does this have anything to do with tonight's games? The last 14 play-in games, 10-4 to the over, they were 4-0 last year. So with these poor defenses and how they can both fill it up on offense, you know, I would expect points as well here, Max.
Yeah, I just really don't get it. Yeah, I definitely like to be over here. I played 159, and hopefully, Max versus the market, hopefully Max gets this one.
All right, so you played Illinois minus 22.5. Here's another example, right? And they are a 3 seed lane. When you bet it, lane 22.5, not enough, bumped up to 24.5. So what do you make of the current number here?
Yeah, so Illinois, they're great at suffocating inferior teams. So they will run you off the 3-point line, and then they will plant one of their giant 7-footers under the basket. So they're going to make you shoot tough twos. And that is not Penn's strength. Penn, they're 293rd in average 2-point distance, and they're 346th in 2-point percentage. So when they do have to take those tough mid ranges, they don't really have great shot making. And like I said, Illinois, they suffocate inferior teams. This is a team that I was betting in November in those bye games. They started the year, they beat Jackson State by 58, Florida Gulf Coast by 43. And there's a bunch of other examples. I bet this one, Illinois minus 22.5. I would still bet it at 24.5. I think they win this one by 30 plus.
Okay, you're on the opposite side of this one. Going against Nebraska, a lot of people like Troy. But you're on Nebraska, and you have a bet, though, on Troy as well. Take it away, please.
Yeah, it's a little funny because I wasn't necessarily expecting to fall in love with, like, a first-round Nebraska matchup. I thought they were a little overrated all year, but they drew a great matchup here. So Troy, they're 7th in rim and three rate. And, you know, at shot quality, we love taking shots at the rim and from three. The problem is the good part of their rim and three is the rim attack. They're not a great 3-point shooting team. And Nebraska, they're 2nd in the nation in shots allowed at the rim. So they completely deny the rim. And there's actually a team in the Sun Belt that denies the rim, and that's South Alabama with their jam-packed zone. South Alabama, they're 365th in the nation in 3-point frequency allowed. They give up a bunch of threes. Nebraska's just a couple spots below them. So I'm expecting a bunch of Troy threes in this one, and that's not their strong suit. Those two South Alabama games, they only scored 59 and 54 points. I think they find themselves in the 50s here again. I played Nebraska minus 13. I also played Troy on the team total. I took under 62 for that as well. I really think they struggle here to score against Nebraska.
Now, that is an excellent breakdown. Max Hoffmeyer, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line on X at Hoffy8121 with shot quality bets. You do have a couple of dogs. We'll get to those momentarily. Chris the Bear Felica was on an hour ago, and he made a strong case for Vandy against McNeese. You're on the same side there?
Yep, I love the matchup here for Vanderbilt. So McNeese, they are the number one in the nation in turnovers forced. That's their bread and butter. They take advantage of a very poor Southland ball security league. The problem is, you know, this isn't the Southland. This is Vanderbilt, and they are one of the best teams in the country at taking care of the ball. And if McNeese isn't forcing turnovers, they're just not good enough to compete in this game. I laid Vandy. I think it's a blowout here. I think it gets close to 20 points. and this one. And yeah, we continue the chalk madness trend, I think. So I played Vandy here. I really like the matchup.
If you're right here and both those teams advance, the 4 and the 5 there, Nebraska and Vandy, do you know who you have you thought about that matchup at all? Who you would bet there? Because I want to bet Vandy to make the Sweet 16.
Yep. So I actually am going to sit down and look at Sweet 16 prices tomorrow, but this is one that I already had circled.
Okay.
Because, yeah, Nebraska's defense are good. They force tough shots, but Vandy, great shot making. I like Vandy in that one.
One book opened Kansas 9.5, took it down, went up to 11.5, and it didn't stop. Hmm. You laid 13.5 against Cal Baptist.
Yeah, so you might have saw the WAC final was the last game of the regular season. That game was crazy. I love Dominique Daniels. He's a fantastic player, but he is undersized at 5'10". He struggled for like the first 75% of that WAC final. Yes, he hit two massive shots late, but I think he might just be a little outsized here. And he had to carry the load offensively for this team all year. And he will draw Melvin Council as well, who I think is a great defender. And Cal Baptist, they did step up in competition once this year. They had a road trip to BYU. They lost that game by 31. I just think they're way too outmatched here. Like I said, I love Dom Daniels. It was a great story, but I think they're just a little outmatched here. I took Kansas.
Okay.
I was impressed with North Dakota State out of the Summit, and especially how they had two impressive wins in the conference tournament. Here's what you're laying 16.5 with Sparty.
Yeah. So North Dakota State, they kind of remind me of Bryant last year, who drew Michigan State in the first round as well. North Dakota State, they're really good at forcing turnovers, grabbing offensive rebounds, and they pushed around Summit League teams. You know, Summit is kind of soft in that aspect. So they won the possession battle every night. The problem is you're not going to push around Michigan State. I mean, I thought this was a terrible draw for them. Mm-hmm. Michigan State, kind of like Bryant last year. Bryant was physical in the America East. They pushed around that conference. Eventually, they just had to step up, and they were way outmatched, I thought, last year. I kind of feel that way about this North Dakota State team because, you know, the Summit has some high-powered offenses. But I think North Dakota State, their success, the reason why they won – was their physicality, rebounding and turnovers. But like I said, just a bad matchup here with Michigan State.
A couple of dogs here. I wanted to bet TCU right away Sunday night, 4.5, but it moved too quickly. Is it still worth a bet? Do you think the Horned Frogs are worth a bet right now, +2.5 against Ohio State?
Yeah, I love TCU. I think they win this one outright. So Bruce Thornton, best player on the floor. Big Ten has a lot of ball dominant guards, but what the Big Ten doesn't have is defenses that blitz ball screens. So, you know, the Big 12, TCU, they're going to send two guys at Bruce Thornton. They're going to make somebody else beat you. And, you know, that's something that they really haven't seen. I thought TCU did a great job a couple weeks ago against Texas Tech doing that to Christian Anderson and making someone else beat him. I think they're going to copy and paste that script here. And give me Jamie Dixon over Jake Diebler here to start it. This is the first game out of the shoot on Thursday. So give me TCU.
All right, last one here, about a minute left here, Max. You're on Northern Iowa +12. That's down to 10.5 at most books. Is that still worth a bet? Do you think they can maybe win this game outright?
I trust Pitino to win it outright, but I think we might have a closer game than some might expect. Northern Iowa, they're going to take away transition. They're going to defend without fouling, and getting to the free throw line and getting out in transition are two very important parts of the St. John's offense. Don't really have great shot making. Northern Iowa is just going to defend them one-on-one. And St. John's, a big part of their offense is grabbing offensive rebounds and second chances. Northern Iowa, great disciplined team on the defensive glass. Great coach here. I think St. John's would rather be playing Belmont, the one seed in the Missouri Valley, than six seed in Northern Iowa. So I think it might be a good thing that maybe we didn't get the one seed in the Missouri Valley.
Hey, Max, dynamite analysis as always. Thanks for the time. Best of luck this week. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as always.
Yep. Thanks. Have fun watching the games. Follow him on X at Hoffy8121. He was on the Progressive Guest Line. Up next, how about Chum Bucket time here on Sharp Week? Your long shot March Madness futures, parlays, and more next here on VSiN. We'll be right back.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Getting right into it here. Derek Stevens joins the desk live in studio. He is the owner and the CEO of this great property, Circa Las Vegas in downtown. Good to see you again. This is uncanny with the madness, how big these point spreads are, right? When you look at the seeds, and Derek, biggest since 1986, and yet the point spreads were going in favor of the chalk. So did you see sharp money on the favorites like right away on Sunday night?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It all came in. All these power ratings are setting records. Like the top couple teams are setting records. And then the two seeds are setting records. So yeah, I mean, all the ones, all the twos, double digits, they kept growing. So yeah, that's where the money came in early, was laying the big numbers. That's for sure.
What surprises me the most, I think, is how big a favorites the twos are. 23.5, 24.5, 25.5 for Purdue. What is going on?
Unprecedented on the twos. That's what I find to be really interesting. The twos are all acting like ones, but I guess this is something we have to evaluate. You know, last year was something different. We didn't get a lot of upsets. So why is that? So everyone says, okay, it's got to be because we've got more powerhouse teams. You've got the NIL money. Okay. Yep. Well, it's just another variable. Now you got a handicap. So now point spreads went up. I still think we're going to get a lot of madness. It might be a little more point spread madness than UMBC from a few years back. But I think you're going to have still a lot of hooting and hollering. It might come down to a last minute throwing up of a three from half court, but you're going to get it. But it's different. It's just different. It's hard to handicap when you have such a big variable. It's different.
Yeah. I think we should be concerned, though, that maybe Cinderella's dead. These are some huge point spreads.
I hope not.
I hope not.
But maybe does that mean, if that's the case, does that mean Cinderella now lives to week two and it's no longer on the first Thursday through Sunday? We could be seeing a shift. I can't tell you for what it's worth. We saw this a couple years ago. Week two, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight weekend, it became far more popular a few years ago.
It did?
Really started growing. This year, we might see numbers similar to this opening week. The second week of this has gone crazy now. So I think you know, you're going to see it. We're going to see it tonight because it's St. Patrick's Day. A little bit of people coming in. Tomorrow night behind you, it'll be packed right off the jump. And then this weekend's going to set some records. So everything's fine, but it's the Sweet 16 Elite Eight weekend, I think, is now really growing in unique popularity. I mean, hell, it's pretty expensive to come out here. So I don't mind having 2 weeks like this. I think maybe Cinderella's more playing on week two.
Which team or teams does some serious damage to you with the future market?
The funny thing about it is we're not going into this particular March Madness with a huge problem. And the reason for that is these number ones that you always get, Michigan, not really a problem. I mean, as an example, I never bet them. I like to bet them in November and December, but they were so chalky. I never got excited about it. Duke, you know, we're not going to get beat up on Duke. We're not going to get beat up on Arizona with the way they played. I would say maybe our biggest liability is right now would probably be Illinois or Iowa State, but even Iowa State wasn't that much. So we don't have this team that all of a sudden got hot in the middle of January and had a couple players come back or something like that. Well, we're stuck with a lot of liability. So this is a different type of year for us.
The number I can't believe is that Circa will a one seed win the tournament. Yes, minus 285.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's cheap.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's cheap?
Why? I think it's cheap. I we've had a couple of arguments about,
okay,
we did, you know, about posting, I know. I just went on Wilbo. Just went on Caesars. I think you can get. Will all four number ones make the final four? I think it's paying at plus 1400 right now.
Yes.
You know, with the way these power rankings are, you you know, what happened last year, it's not that this is a one-off. It very well could come back. Mm-hmm. I think 14-1 is a steal. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think you got a great sure. shot at plus 14-1. I would take okay. that. If nothing else, by the time you get to the Elite Eight, you might have a little hedging opportunity yeah. to do something.
I bet it last year it was 15-1 and it came in.
Yeah. So, things changed last year. This year's a lot closer to last year than yeah. what things yeah. were 5 years ago. Yeah. So I think the number's still way too tall. There's a wager out there right now. If you add up the sum of the final four teams, everywhere's got 8.5. Well, at 8.5, you can put a couple of twos and a one in there. You're still going to come in under. I love the under on this, yeah, under 8.5. You bet it?
I bet under 9.5, laid 30 cents.
Oh, you laid 30 and under 9.5. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right now, we got it even money. I think our guys are crazy. No, I do. I think it was just on MGM's app. It was minus 115 both ways. Caesars minus 115 both ways. We're running a 20-cent line, minus 120 over and even on under 8.5.
You know, would you guys ever consider this? Could you post alt numbers on that and just, you know, change the juice a little bit? Go 4.5, 5.5, all the way up.
I don't think it would be a problem. Spend a little time with a pencil and a calculator. I'm sure they'll come up with something.
I think that would be a popular prop.
Yeah.
Effectively, you start at 4.5. We're yeah. right there. Okay, so mm-hmm. everybody else is 14-1. I'd rather have it a little lower than that. But then you work your way up.
How about a PSA and any advice? You were great last week. Get your dinner reservations taken care of. This place is going to be a zoo. I know the owner's not going to work.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
What happened?
These guys, like, hey, we already talked about this dinner reservation thing, you know, on the night before Super Bowl. They're like, hey, how about 7 o'clock? You know, we don't have to go down that path. But, but these guys are unbelievable. Like, hey, can you get me a day bed at Stadium Swim? Like, when? How about like Thursday, maybe like 10, 11 o'clock? It's a day session, night session. It's been sold out for weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks.
Plan ahead.
I don't understand it at all. Yeah. I asked Wilbo because I had a couple of buddies coming in. I go, hey, you're going to hate this one. What do you got for Cabana Friday? Friday morning. Just, you know, that one you keep up your sleeve, that one.
Yeah.
I might need that one. And he goes, yeah, we had a football player come in, big crew, great, you know, so we decided to let it go. I go, you didn't keep it for a player? He goes, no. I go, man, we got to save those just in case. You got to keep one. It's still Vegas. Got to keep one up your sleeve. And he goes, well, sold it for $9,000. I'm like, well, okay, not bad. That was our very last command on Friday. Friday's the peak day, that's for sure.
It's never too early to talk Survivor and NFL.
Ooh.
How do you feel about a Thanksgiving Eve game? Yeah, Wednesday night.
I love everything about
more
Wednesday
strategy.
Night. I love the beginning of the season. I love the Wednesday night for Thanksgiving. I'm very interested in how this is going to play out relative to these international games because clearly international games are here. They're here to stay, and they're going to grow. These international games create these unique dynamics where you need to have a little more time before, after, how bye weeks play into things. But I love the Wednesday night pre-Thanksgiving game. It's going to impact the people in Detroit. You know, in Detroit, that's the biggest drinking night of the year is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
J.R. Circuits told us it's turning into one of the, it's like right behind New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
There's also this. I'm concerned about this. That is the number one travel day of the entire year.
Yes.
I think there's a chance people are going to forget to get their pick in.
Ooh, that'd be something. You know, what happens if they do three games on Thursday, one on Wednesday, so Wednesday and then the triple header Thursday. And then what happens if there's another big tranche on Friday? How do we have to mix these weeks up? Becomes very interesting. Jeff Benson and Mike Palm and I have been tossing around a few ideas.
So that week could be 3 weeks in one.
It could be. I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. I'm still of the thought process that it won't be long before the NFL adds both an 18th game and an additional bye week, which would take Circa Survivor to 22 weeks. So I'm very convinced it's going to get at least a 21, if not 22 weeks, not too far down the road, because there's way too much money out there. But yeah, in the short term, you know, yeah, we're playing around with a couple different scenarios for this upcoming year.
All right. What do you need tonight at World Baseball Classic?
Right now, we need the United States to win.
Okay, yeah. That's a good team to root for then.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Derek. Thank you. By the way, I'm glad he brought that up, because I'll tell you what the numbers were last year for the one seeds, and I'll expand on that with Best Bets next.